Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome. It is Eric Erickson here, the Eric Erickson Show, across the state of Georgia and beyond. Streaming today on Facebook Live, all the technical problems overcome. I am thankfully recovering. My voice may break. I sound like I'm going through puberty. My kid and I on Tuesday, well, he had been sick over the weekend and just got progressively worse. And man, on Tuesday, I got to be about 8:30 on Tuesday night, and I could just tell something was wrong. Fever and the like, it was just gross. I went to bed Tuesday night and woke up sometime after noon, sometime around 1 o'clock on Wednesday. It was awful. So thanks to Jim and Charlie for being able to get a best of up yesterday. And, you know, I feel fine today. I slept ridiculous. I barely slept last night. I think I slept so much the night before. But good grief, the 10-year-old, he's better too. His head's still a pile of snot, but we kept him home Tuesday and yesterday, and he's back at school today. So, okay, we got a lot to cover from yesterday when I was gone. We got to get into the Curtis situation. We got a lot to cover from today. There is breaking news you need to know about. Right now, though, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is he's not expressly condemning President Trump allowing Turkey to kill the Kurds in northern Syria. He is, however, saying that he is going to offer any assistance he can, humanitarian or militarily, to help the Kurds in northern Syria. This is a dramatic escalation of a situation. President Trump said he was going to de-escalate, but there's another big story happening now as well. The Apple computer, Apple Inc. now, and I am a big Apple fan, so this pains me, but we all knew this was going to come. Apple has decided that it is going to ban an app from the App Store in Hong Kong that Hong Kong protesters were using to see where the police are. They had taken the app out of the App Store. They put it back in after protest. The Chinese government loudly protested, using Chinese propaganda arms to go after Apple. So Apple has recanted and has this morning confirmed to the New York Times it is deleting the app, claiming that the Hong Kong protesters were using it to target the police. The unarmed Hong Kong protesters were using it to target the armed police. Right. So Apple is yet another American corporate commie. What's so interesting here is that Apple's CEO, like so many CEOs in this country, are perfectly willing to weigh in on social justice issues in this country. They're willing to be woke, but when it comes to China, they are perfectly happy to be quiet. It genuinely is ridiculous to watch all of these super woke people in the United States who are willing to stand up and loudly talk about issues in this country and be as woke as possible on social issues in this country, suddenly going silent when it comes to China. The NBA last night in Washington, D.C., a mile from where the actual physical Declaration of Independence and First Amendment reside in the National Archives, a mile from there, a mile away from the Bill of Rights, NBA security was pulling Americans out of the Washington Wizards game for holding up signs about Hong Kong. One of the signs, all the sign did was say, Google Hong Kong, or no, Google Uyghurs, Google Uyghurs. That's it. Didn't say anything else, just Google Uyghurs. And the NBA staff pulled the people. I knew, by the way, some of them are friends of mine who went with these signs. And the Washington Wizards had them ejected from the game. The NBA say nothing. Steph Curry, who all the time is willing to stand up and be loud and proud about woke issues in the United States, they put a microphone in his face to ask him what he thought about all this.
You want to say publicly on certain issues?
No, I think this one is just it's a league-wide situation, and our presence in China, it's just a different conversation, I think, than what we have normally, coach talking about gun violence or gender equality or things that for us is being spokespeople for people who can't speak for themselves within our communities, that that makes a huge impact. This situation is a huge weight and gravity to it, and there's going to be needs of things that need to be sorted out, but I just don't know enough about Chinese history and that and what that how that's influenced, you know, modern society today.
He doesn't know enough about Chinese history, the Chinese communist. He doesn't know enough about communism to speak out. This is Steph Curry, who's willing to speak out on guns. He's willing to speak out on gender equality. He's willing to speak out on all these issues, but he's not willing to speak out on that. Steve Kerr is also not willing to speak out on it. Steve Kerr is the coach for he's the Warriors coach, isn't he? He's a left wing progressive guy. Not willing to speak out on China. He's willing to speak out on gay rights. He's willing to speak out on gender equality. He's willing to speak out on gun violence. He's willing to attack the president of the United States. He's willing to do all of these things. Steve Kerr is, as an NBA coach in the league, Steve Kerr is reliably progressive. Reliably progressive. And on China?
Steve, obviously the big story in the league right now is Daryl Morey's tweet and everything going on with China. Do you have any thoughts on that situation?
Actually, I don't. I mean, it's a really bizarre international story, and a lot of us don't know what to make of it. So it's something I'm reading about. Just like everybody is, but I'm not going to comment further.
Amazing. A man who's willing to comment on stuff that he knows nothing about in this country is unwilling to comment on that. Here's Ted Cruz talking about this issue.
You're right. We've seen the NBA falling all over itself to backtrack, and everybody understands why. There's big money in China, and the NBA teams make a whole lot of money. Broadcasting in China, having subscriptions in China, having online subscriptions, having fans there. But that being said, I think this really shows how China tries to use economic coercion and blackmail to get American companies to engage in censorship.
Uh-huh. Economic blackmail to get American companies to engage in censorship. Now, a voice of reason on all of this is Jason Whitlock, the sports analyst. Listen to this guy.
When people start talking about being a global citizen, I don't think people really understand what that means for American culture. And I think for a lot of the everyday typical American sports fan, this is an educational experience. This is what people have been talking about. We can't let our corporations, our country being totally driven by China because it's driving our culture. These basketball players, LeBron James, James Harden actually apologized on behalf of Daryl Morey to the Chinese government. We're apologizing to a communist government, and then we have athletes here and coaches like Steve Kerr and Greg Popovich that rail against our government.
Yes, yes. They rail against our government routinely. Tim Cook routinely takes strident positions in this country on issues, social justice issues, filing amicus briefs in the Supreme Court for a host of causes. He's got one right now on, I believe, the DREAM Act of all things. This routinely happens, and they don't want to say anything about China. But it's not just them. Josh Rogan in the Washington Post pointed out a story I had completely forgotten about. Marriott fired an employee in Omaha, Nebraska. The employee was based in Omaha, Nebraska. And Marriott fired the employee. Why? Because the employee liked a pro-Tibet tweet on Twitter. And China demanded the employee be fired. And so Marriott fired the employee. American Airlines and United have removed references to Taiwan in their in-flight maps because China demanded it. Hollywood, let's not forget Hollywood. So Tencent which is the company that blasted the NBA and had the viewership deal, the billion-dollar deal with NBA to show NBA games in China, blasted the NBA. Tencent is also behind the new Top Gun release. And Maverick's jacket in Top Gun had a Taiwan patch and a patch of Japan on it. Those have now been removed in the new movie because the Chinese did not want the Taiwan patch on his jacket. You know, Disney, an internal memo leaked from ESPN showing that ESPN management has ordered its employees not to talk about Chinese politics. ESPN employees at ESPN have routinely talked about politics in the United States. And suddenly they're not going to talk about the politics in China. They're not going to talk about Hong Kong. They're not going to talk about any of that. And the reason is because ESPN is owned by Disney. Disney has five, I think, billion-dollar box offices this year. The Lion King, Aladdin, Avengers Endgame, what are the other ones? They've had so many. In any event, they're having to tell their ESPN network, you can't talk about China. Because Disney relies on China's good. And by the way, Disney owns half of Hollywood now. So can you imagine what Disney is going to do to stand up to China? Can you imagine what's going to happen there in terms of how movies are developed in Hollywood, what they cover and what they don't cover, because Disney is beholden to the Chinese markets like Apple is? You know, ironically, one of the companies that's not caving to China, one of the companies that is not backing down is Facebook. I'm streaming live on Facebook right now, and Facebook is standing up to the Chinese. WhatsApp is owned by Facebook. And yesterday, Mark Zuckerberg ordered Facebook to block the Hong Kong police from using WhatsApp. The reason was because there were confirmed reports that the Hong Kong police were trying to entrap and otherwise track Hong Kong protesters through WhatsApp. So Facebook blocked the Hong Kong police force's access to WhatsApp. Think about that. They were banning accounts from using WhatsApp. Now, Facebook will not even operate in mainland China. And the reason Facebook won't operate in mainland China is because in China, under Chinese law, if you operate in China, you have to store your servers in China. So the Chinese can get in and analyze your technology and potentially steal it, but China can also get into your servers and track their citizens. Do you know, it would be very easy with Facebook's algorithms, if they were to operate in China, for China to round up all the Christians or the Muslim minorities in China and execute them, which is what they're doing right now. There's more and more undercover footage coming out of the Chinese rounding up religious minorities in China and killing them, bulldozing more churches in China. They've escalated the persecution of Christians and Muslims in China. And American corporations want to turn a blind eye. Steph Curry wants to talk about equality in this country, cannot even bring himself to open a newspaper and see what's happening in China. But, you know, that raises another issue as well with what's going on in China and how things are covered. Look at CNN. CNN is owned by Warner. Warner is owned by AT&T. What if Warner has a movie that is critical of China? Will CNN be able to cover? Will CNN be able to continue to cover China critically? Or will Warner be blackballed in the Chinese box office? If Disney is worried about ESPN, what about Warner and CNN? This is going to be something that we have to pay attention to. Same with Fox, by the way. Fox certainly has interest, although now that Fox has divested 20th Century Fox to Disney, it is less to worry about, but it still has some concern there. It does try to make business interests in Asia. NBC, certainly. NBC, Universal, Comcast. What about that? Can NBC cover this stuff without Universal being hit? CBS, Viacom? You know, there are rules in this country on media ownership. If you own an American media outlet, you have to be majority American. But what if you're a significant proportion of a Chinese company owning American media? Where do we get the news from about China? Increasingly, we're seeing American corporations willing to cave to China. We are seeing American corporations willing to take bold stands in the United States of America and never say a word when it comes to issues in China. They're willing to call us out on social wokeness in this country, but bend over backwards in China. Now, we should not be surprised because these corporations have a history in the United States of opposing religious liberty. They have a history of supporting pro-life legislation. We should not be surprised that woke corporations in this country that oppose religious liberty and life are willing to shut up about a communist country that doesn't have religious liberty and routinely forcibly aborts children, because that is the corporate values of many of these woke companies. In fact, wokeness is just another form of authoritarianism. We see wokeness in this country being used to round up and silence people and hound them out of jobs for daring to deviate from the woke line. That is authoritarian. They behave exactly as the Chinese do. So, of course, we see American corporations siding with an authoritarian regime, because if they had their way in this country, they would be just as authoritarian. You know, as an aside, as someone who does conservative talk radio, I'm deeply mindful that there are woke corporations that would never advertise with me while they will routinely advertise with a woke progressive outlet. You can see, GE will sponsor left-wing news sites. GE would not run an ad on a conservative news site. There's no way they would. Woke corporations will side with their own, and they will fund money that way. You wonder sometimes, you look on Fox or your typical conservative talk show, what's up with ads? Well, what's up with ads is a lot of major corporate powers will not advertise with conservatives because they're progressive, and they will shut it. You know, I used to do it. I was a longtime customer of Harry's Razors. I like Harry's. Harry's makes good razors. I use Harry's. I'm actually staring. I got Harry's Razors on my desk. But progressives complained, so you're not going to hear Harry's ads here. They'll side with the left. Routinely, progressive corporations side with authoritarian regimes, and we need to be mindful of that.
Eric Erickson gives you the information you need and the truth you demand.
The phone lines are open, 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I was going to start with this. I decided that I would spare the agony of I didn't want everybody immediately turning the radio off. We need to talk about what happened. In 1982, the Braves management decided to remove Chief Nakahoma's teepee from the left field to make room for more seats in the Fulton County Park. They would then blow a 10-game lead, losing 15 of their next 16 games in 19 of 21 before recovering in time to win their second National League West Division title. That's right. They got rid of Chief Nakahoma's teepee, and they were cursed, and they did terrible. Last night, because one Cardinals player complained and said it was insensitive to pass out the tomahawks, the Braves not only refused to pass out tomahawks, but decided to give the Cardinals 10 runs out of the gate. It was embarrassing. They caved to political correctness and just handed the game to the Cardinals so that they couldn't be accused of being bad, intolerant white people. Just pitiful. Pitiful. It was an awful game. I felt well enough last night. I decided I would go with my wife and grab something to eat. We went right across the street to a restaurant. We were tired of having to deal with the kids. Sat down. And a text from a friend of mine said, "This is incredible. They've lost the game and haven't even gotten to bat yet." And I thought, what happened? I hadn't seen. And they turned the TV, and there was a collective groan in the restaurant. See, you smite Chief Nakahoma and tradition, and look what happens, Braves. Look what happens. A lot of Braves fans were highly outraged. And I see the AJC today is making it be a Republican. Say, No. Stop with your silly, it's all about politics angle. No, it wasn't. Your average Braves fan was actually in the stands doing the tomahawk chop last night trying to rally. but there were no tomahawks to be seen because the Braves caved to political correctness because of one outraged Cardinals player who undoubtedly knew about the curse of Chief Nakahoma, and the Braves fell for the trap. Just pitiful. It was an embarrassing end. I have a lot of friends who are very angry with Freddie Freeman as well. They're genuinely angry with him. Pitiful. Pitiful, pitiful. I did see somebody sent me a funny cartoon. It was of, what's his name? Freddie from, is Freddie from Scooby-Doo pulling the mask off of the Braves. And it's the Falcons are actually playing for the Braves. I assumed it was the Tennessee Volunteers that were on the field for the Braves. I didn't think anybody could suck as badly as them, but man, maybe it was the Vols playing last night on the field. It is Eric Erickson here. You can call in and be a part of the program. 877-97-ERIC, 877-973-7425. I want to steal from a friend of mine and give you kind of an outline of the Curtis situation in Syria. As you know, we had 100 advisors. They were military advisors. They were special operators in northern Syria. And as long as they were where they were essentially manning a detainment facility for ISIS, among other things. And the ISIS leadership was detained in this facility. We took two of the major leaders who were actually British expats who joined ISIS out of this facility, left the rest of them. There is not a fear, but a reality that many of these people will escape because the Kurds, we're not there to guard them. The Kurds were helping us. So essentially, by the president removing these 100 Americans, and he didn't remove them from the country. We haven't withdrawn from Syria. That's something a lot of people are saying, hey, he promised to end endless wars. This is actually going to create a new war, I'm afraid. You now have Israel pledging support to the Kurds in northern Syria against Turkey. You have Iran now moving across northern Iraq, unstopped by Iraqi forces, to try to get there to combat the Turks. This is going to completely destabilize the situation. The 100 American soldiers there were keeping everyone at bay, and the reason was because no one wanted to dare kill the American soldiers and risk the wrath of the United States. With them gone, Turkey's making inroads. Everyone knew what Turkey was going to do, even despite White House protests saying they didn't. They knew. They absolutely knew because Erdogan, the president of Turkey, has said they were going to go in and kill the Kurds. Let me explain to you what the White House could have done just to show you how bad the White House is at communications on this. This is actually from a friend of mine in Congress. The PKK, which is the Kurdish group in northern Syria, is a communist group designated a terror organization. The YPG, which is the military group we've been working with in northern Syria, is the military arm of this communist Kurdish group. This is what is typically called the Kurds in Syria. They're not the Peshmerga Kurds of northern Iraq, although I would quibble with that to some degree because some of the northern Iraqi Kurds have moved in there. The YPG has destroyed entire villages and displaced thousands of refugees into Turkey. This includes an estimated 200,000 Kurds who saw the YPG as too extreme. The YPG is accused of war crimes by a lot of people. Turkey wants to go into some of these villages and set up a zone so the refugees can return. The YPG hates ISIS, so basically only in the respect that they're allies is they want to kill ISIS as much as we do. They also hate the Syrian government and are happy to help us fight them. Turkey doesn't like ISIS, but not nearly as much as the YPG does. Turkey is somewhat indifferent to them as long as ISIS leaves Turkey alone. So I can understand why Turkey wants to do what they want to do, though I'd want assurances that they'd properly handle ISIS prisoners, which they're refusing to give. I appreciate that the YPG, again, this communist Kurdish outfit, kills ISIS, but they are effectively a terror organization as well. All Kurdish groups aren't the same, and I think it's misleading to say that we're abandoning the Kurds when the YPG has been attacking Turks and causing Turks so many problems. All of them are bad people. We should be rooting for injuries. That's an articulate defense from someone in Congress, not an elected congressman, a staffer who studies these issues. That's a very articulate defense. It is a genuinely articulate defense. The White House has not made that, has not articulated that. The White House has not been willing to go along with it. The White House has not been willing to make any sort of case for walking away from these Kurds. There's also somewhat of a complication in that, yes, this Kurdish group is some considered a terror organization, but we did make promises to them. Now, the United States can break its promises. I get. The problem, though, is that our promises lured in some of the Peshmerga Kurds. This is a complicated situation, but what you need to understand is that the Kurds are a minority group that should have their own country. But post-World War II, as Britain was carving up the Middle East, they did not give the Kurds their own country, largely because Turkey objected. Turkey did not want the Kurds to have their own country because they were afraid the Kurds could get some military strength. Turkey and the Kurds have been at war for a very long time. And then Iraq also did not want the Kurds to have a group. The Kurds are essentially, how's the best way to describe them? The Kurds are a Muslim minority that are not your typical Islamists. They are very open to Christians. In fact, it is the Kurds in Iraq and Syria who have been protecting Christian minority groups. The Kurds are rather peaceful, but have taken to arms historically because of Turkish persecution. The Turks committed genocide against Armenia and then began to commit genocide against the Kurds. The Kurds fled into northern Iraq and then spread out, some of them into Syria. The Syrian Kurds somewhat radicalized because of hostility from the Assad regime. I've mentioned before that the Assad regime is Ba'athist, and Ba'athists are the Middle Eastern successors of the Nazi Party. That is historic. I'm not exaggerating there. The Ba'athists learned from the Nazis, moved back to the Middle East. Saddam Hussein and Bashar al-Assad's father, Hafez al-Assad, were Ba'athists. They instituted the Ba'athist Party. That is a Nazi-style party. That very much systematically have engaged in ethnic cleansing and other things, much like the Nazis did. And the Kurds in Syria radicalized to a degree. They were embraced by communists. The Soviet Union had a relationship in Syria, tried to bring them into the fold. It is a very complicated situation. But in a nutshell, to simplify it for you, the problem is these Kurds have been fighting with the United States against ISIS. Not only that, the United States has prevented Turkey from coming into northern Syria. Turkey has wanted to come into northern Syria to kill the Kurds, but also to have a more substantial fight against the Shiite terror groups that are helping Bashar al-Assad. This is destabilizing for us to pull our 100. And again, it's only 100 people. We're not bringing them home. We're just moving them further south so that Turkey can wipe out the Kurds. But while these Kurds have been there and this area has been relatively secure because the United States has been there, other Kurds have come in. The Peshmerga Kurds, who are really our friends in northern Iraq, a lot of them have migrated into this area of Syria. So when Turkey comes in, they're not distinguishing between political groups of Kurds. They're just finding the Kurds and trying to kill them. And we're enabling them to do so. The problem as well is that the Kurds have become rather reliable intelligence allies with Israel. And so we're also undermining Israel in doing this. So we're undermining people who've helped us fight ISIS. We're undermining people who have helped us protect Christians. We're undermining people who we've made promises to. We're undermining people who provided intelligence to Israel. We're undermining people who have stabilized an area of the Middle East that needed stabilization. We're undermining a people who have helped us contain ISIS, not just fight ISIS. And what's going to happen, the Turks are already signaling that they have no grievance against ISIS right now in northern Syria. We have detainment facilities in northern Syria where we have been keeping ISIS soldiers battle-hardened on the field. They got captured. They were taken there. And now they're going to go. They're going to be free. They have experience. They've got military experience. They are radicalized. They hate us. They want to kill us. And now they're going to be let loose. That's the problem here. That is why so many Republicans in Congress are expressing outrage about the president right now. They are deeply, deeply angry about the situation, and they view it as deeply, deeply destabilizing. It's not a good situation. It should not be treated dismissively. The president, one of the probably the stupidest thing the president has ever said, is that the Kurds were not with us in World War II, as if we have no obligation to them because they weren't there.
And as somebody wrote in a very, very powerful article today, they didn't help us in the Second World War. They didn't help us with Normandy, as an example. They mentioned names of different battles. They were there, but they're there to help us with their land. And that's a different thing. In addition to that, we have spent tremendous amounts of money on helping the Kurds in terms of ammunition, in terms of weapons, in terms of money, in terms of pay. With all of that being said, we like the Kurds. Now, you have different factions in there. Again, you have PKK. That's a different faction. And they worked with us. It's a rough group, but they worked with us. But we've spent a tremendous, and they're fighting for their land. So when you say they're fighting with us, yes, but they're fighting for the land. Now, if we go on the theory that some of the folks in Washington go by, who all do very well with the military-industrial complex. I mean, you know, the military-industrial complex, take a look at Dwight Eisenhower. He had it figured right many years ago. It's got tremendous power. They like fighting. They make a lot of money when they fight.
Yeah, that sounds good, except for the fact that, yes, the Kurds are fighting for their land, but they have helped us contain a terrorist element that wants to kill us. And we promised we would help them hold that area if they helped us hold those terrorist elements. And there's a real risk now that with them gone, the terrorist element is going to be let loose back on the Middle East. And so the president will go from an endless war to a really endless war. He's not fixing a war problem. I mean, if the president is right about the military-industrial complex, they should be supporting what he's doing right now because it's going to spread more chaos. Here's David Ignatius, who's been studying this for a while.
Two other important developments I want to mention. First, as the Turks prepare for their invasion across the border in northeastern Syria, Russian and Syrian regime forces further south are said to be moving up toward the Kurdish areas to catch the Kurds in a kind of pincer and reduce the area under their control. And finally, and this is what should frighten all of us the most, there are many thousands, the estimates go as high as 10,000, former ISIS prisoners who have been held in often ramshackle facilities by the Kurds, who may be able to escape if the Turkish invasion happens and the Kurds who are guarding them have to flee to go to the front lines to fight the Turks. That means that some of the most dangerous people on the planet, people who want to target Britain, France, the United States, could suddenly be free. I am sorry to say that the United States government, after looking at this question for months, still has no plan to deal with the possibility that these ISIS fighters could suddenly be at large.
Yeah. Yep. Here's Marsha Blackburn, conservative Republican senator from Tennessee.
One of the things that I have concerns with is what will happen to the 2,000 ISIS fighters that Turkey is responsible for. At that point, and Bill, we have a very large Kurdish population in the Nashville area. And when I talk to Tennesseans who have really warmly welcomed this community, they talk about protecting the Kurds. I had two provisions in the Defense Authorization Act, one dealing with the Peshmerga in Iraq, and the other with the SDF in Syria, just in case we had a withdrawal from the northeast portion of the country. So we are very focused on making certain that we stand with the Kurds. And we want to make certain that the policies we put in the NDAA would be something that would mesh with what the administration is trying to do.
Do you believe, based on what you've seen from this order, that would the Kurds still be defended or not?
I disagree with the policy as has been laid out, but I'm really focused on making certain that those 2,000 ISIS fighters do not return to their home communities, villages, and countries, and that they do not reform, and that they do not go back to attacking and killing Tennesseans.
Does this move
and
by
Americans.
The president?
Yeah, that's kind of the problem. Everybody's got to worry about this ISIS concern, and it is a real concern. It is. We should not downplay this. This is an overarching concern, not just a betrayal of our allies. You had, even of all people, Pat Robertson came out really blasting the president over this.
The president who allowed Khashoggi to be cut in pieces without any repercussions whatsoever is now allowing the Christians and the Kurds to be massacred by the Turks. And I believe, and I want to say this with great solemnity, the president of the United States is in danger of losing the mandate of heaven if he permits this to happen.
Well, he's permitted it. And yeah, that's one of the things here. Evangelical leaders are really concerned about this because the Kurds have been protecting the Christians in northern Syria from massacre. The Kurds are the ones who have been protecting the Christians. And as a result, you heard Marsha Blackburn mention this, the Kurdish community in Tennessee. Kentucky, Tennessee, Pennsylvania. I don't think Georgia has one, but there are a number of southern and border states that have huge Kurdish populations of refugees that we allow to resettle, and Christian communities have taken them in to thank them for their protection of Christians in the Middle East. Many, many Christians in the Middle East have survived because of the Kurds taking them in, and Christians in this country have reciprocated by taking in the Kurds, even though they're Muslim. They're a very peace-loving Muslim sect, very open to Christians. They have a whole long history of interacting with Christians peaceably in the Middle East and helping each other. So this does impact the evangelical community in the United States. And hearing someone like Pat Robertson say the president may lose the mandate of heaven should be a warning sign for the White House that a lot of evangelicals who support him are concerned about this. Franklin Graham as well has come out and criticized the president. Franklin Graham, of all people, coming up criticizing the president for this issue. It becomes an issue as well with impeachment. Republicans in the Senate, Lindsey Graham among them, deeply, deeply critical of the president doing this, really deeply critical of the president doing what he's doing. It has very little to do with the Kurds and a lot to do with the persecution of Christians in the Middle East that the Kurds have been protecting, and also the Kurds detaining the ISIS prisoners for us in the Middle East. This is going to continue to escalate as Turkey continues to make incursions. And now with this big news this morning that Israel saying it's going to stand with the Kurds, whether we do or not, it's going to spiral.
I really do like his opinion on things.
Eric Erickson, the information you need and the truth you demand.
He tells it like it is.
Live every weekday.
It is Eric Erickson here, and the phone number to the program, 877-97-ERIC, E-R-I-C-K, 877-973-7425. This just in, two foreign-born donors to a Trump fundraising committee who helped Rudy Giuliani's efforts to investigate Joe Biden have been arrested on criminal charges violating campaign finance rules. They're expected to appear in court later today, according to people familiar with the matter. Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman, two Florida businessmen, have been under investigation by the U.S. attorney in Manhattan and are expected to appear in federal court in Virginia later Thursday. The men's nationalities were unclear, though they were both believed to have been born in former Soviet republics. They apparently transferred money to a Trump super PAC, America First Action, in May of 2018. They formed an LLC called Global Energy Producers. And they then flowed the money to the Trump super PAC. But there are questions as to where the money actually came from. Did it come from foreign entities? Since late 2018, Fruman and Parnas have been introducing Giuliani to current and former Ukrainian prosecutors to help him build his case against Joe Biden. This happening this morning, these two men arrested, expected to appear in court later today on campaign finance violations, having flowed money into a Trump super PAC that may have come from foreign sources. The U.S. prosecutors have been investigating. These two have met in the past with Trump Jr. Giuliani and had dinner with the president as well. I'm sure the Democrats will rope this into their impeachment investigation. Also, ESPN, this is from the Washington Free Beacon, is confirming reports it wasn't photoshopped. ESPN Wednesday evening showed a graphic recognizing China's erroneous claims to own the South China Sea, despite the permanent court of arbitration ruling against them in 2016, while transitioning to a segment about the Los Angeles Lakers basketball team arriving in Shanghai, ESPN showed a graphic of China with the so-called nine dash line. The dashed lines encircle the South China Sea, marking the large area that the People's Republic of China claims to control. China has repeatedly claimed to own 90% of the South China Sea under the so-called nine dash line, but the Permanent Court of Arbitration, an international court in the Netherlands, ruled in 2016 that China's claims were illegal and that there was no evidence of historic context for this. Nonetheless, ESPN doctored its own map to make it look like China owned this territory. They even included Taiwan in the territory as if China owned it. Yet again, Disney allowing itself to be influenced by its need for Chinese dollars. The president has spoken about the China issue as well. I meant to play this clip earlier for you. Listen.
Well, the NBA is a different thing. I mean, I watch this guy, Steve Kerr, and he was like a little boy. He was so scared to be even answering the question. He couldn't answer the question. He was shaking. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. He didn't know how to answer the question. And yet he'll talk about the United States very badly. I watched Popovich, sort of the same thing, but he didn't look quite as scared, actually. But they talk badly about the United States, but when it talks about China, they don't want to say anything bad. I thought it was pretty sad, actually. It'll be very interesting. Excuse me?
Are you okay, then, with the Chinese government pressuring the NBA over Hong Kong?
They have to work out their own situation. The NBA, they know what they're doing, but I watched the way that, like, Kerr and Popovich and some of the others were pandering to China, and yet to our own country, they don't respect it. I said, what a difference. Isn't it sad? It's very sad. To me, it's very sad.
Yeah, it is. Also happening now, NBA is confirming that it canceled media availability because the Chinese requested it after the Wizards game last night. And also, there will be no media availability for the Lakers game as well because the Chinese requested it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.